It's me again, Hank the Cowdog. The mystery began one evening towards the end of May, as I recall. Yes, it was May. I'm sure it was, because May is a three-letter word that, if spelled backwards, comes out yam. A yam is a sweet potato, don't you see, and is similar to a regular Irish potato. What does all this have to do with the case of the raging Rottweiler? Be patient. I'm getting there. See, in the security business, we often employ little memory tricks to help us recall the many facts and clues we encounter in our work. Example, May spelled backwards comes out yam. A yam is a form of potato, right? You will be shocked to know that the night this adventure began, Slim cooked himself a baked potato for supper. You see the connection now? It all fits together. May, yam, Irish potato, and baked potato. And that's how I remember that this case began in May. Pretty clever, huh? You bet. In the security business, we often employ... I've already said that. Where were we? We were at the beginning, and that happens to be the point at which most of these mysteries begin. It all began, as I recall, around the middle of June. We were in the grip of a heat wave, day after day of temperatures over 100 degrees. Terrible heat. And also very dry. No rain. Our spring grass had turned brown. The buffalo grass had stopped growing. Stock ponds were drying up and turning into mud holes. Slim was keeping a close watch on our windmills, checking them every other day instead of the usual twice a week. Have we discussed the importance of windmills on a cattle ranch? Maybe not, but I guess we should. On a ranching operation such as this one, most of our water for the livestock is pumped out of the ground by windmills. Nothing is more important in the summertime than a supply of fresh water. If cattle run out of water, fellers, we have big problems. We either have to haul water to the cattle in a water trailer or move the cattle to another pasture. What makes the water situation especially scary is that if the wind quits blowing, the windmills quit turning. All of them. And then we have water problems everywhere at once. Our situation wasn't quite that serious. It was hot and dry, but the wind was still blowing and turning those windmills. And for that, we were grateful. It's kind of impressive that a dog would know so much about ranch management, isn't it? Most of your ordinary mutts, Grover comes to mind here, pay no attention to such matters. They eat, lie around in the shade, scratch a few fleas, and maybe bark at a cat every once in a while, but they pay no attention to the larger issues. Me? I have to stay on top of things. Have I mentioned that I'm head of ranch security? I am, which means I'm not only in charge of surveillance and investigations, but I have to keep a close eye on these other matters, too. Anyways, it was July and hot. Grover and I had spent the day checking cattle and windmills with Slim Chance, the cowboy. It was around 8 o'clock in the evening, just before sundown, when we returned to Slim's shack, some 2 miles east of ranch headquarters. Slim got out of the pickup and stretched a kink out of his back. Whilst he was involved in that, Grover and I left our spots on the pickup seat and jumped out. I noticed that a scowl moved across Slim's face and that his eyes seemed to have locked on something inside the pickup. The seat, perhaps? It was hard to tell, but Slim was giving it a close inspection.
Is there some reason why you mutts have to shed hair all over my pickup seat?
Well, I didn't know how to respond to that. Had we shed a few hairs? He pointed towards the evidence.
Look at that. I let you bozos right up front with the executives, and that's the thanks I get.
I looked closer. You know, he was right. Even at a distance, I could see that certain unnamed suspects had deposited ugly dog hairs on the back of his pickup seat. I whirled around and stabbed Drover with a glare of steel. You see what you've done? He blinked his eyes and grinned.
Oh, hi. Are we home already? Gosh, I must have dozed off.
Of course you dozed off. You always doze off. But that's not the problem.
Oh, good. I sure love sleep. What's the problem?
I pointed my nose towards the inside of the pickup. Check that out, Drover. Study the evidence. He studied the evidence.
Well, let's see here. I don't see anything.
Dog hairs. Hundreds of them. Thousands of them. They're all over Slim's pickup seat. Can you guess where they came from?
He sat down and squinted one eye.
Well, let me think. A dog?
Very good. Cat hair comes from cats. Hog hair comes from hogs. Dog hair comes from dogs.
I'll be darned. I didn't know hogs had hair.
They do. All fur-boring animals have hair. Hogs are boring animals. Therefore, they have hair.
I thought they had bristles.
No. You're thinking of brushes. Brushes have bristles. Hogs have hair.
I'll be darned. What makes them so boring?
They're boring, Drover, because they grunt all the time. If they had anything to say, maybe they wouldn't be so boring. But their answer to everything is a grunt.
Yeah, and who cares what a hog thinks anyway?
Exactly my point. And let that be a lesson to you. Just then, Slim pointed down to the creek.
Looky yonder. There's our doe and fawn again. He gave us the evil eye. Don't you dogs even think about chasing those deer.
Who, me? Hey, he didn't need to...
Sure enough, on the other side of the creek was a white-tailed doe and her fawn. They'd been coming in for water for the past several days, and Slim sure didn't need to worry about me barking them away. No, sir. The thought had never... Okay, maybe I thought about it once or twice. I mean, barking at wild animals was second nature to a dog, but Slim had made his position clear on the matter, and I had taken a solemn pledge not to bother his deer. Heck, I had even promised to protect him. At that very moment, my ears picked up the sound of an approaching vehicle. That was odd, very odd. Who would be coming to Slim's place at this hour of the day? I didn't know, and it didn't really matter. The vehicle had no business on our ranch, and it was time for us dogs to bark the alarm. Drover, we've got an unidentified vehicle coming in from the south. This could turn into a Code 3 situation. Let's move out. We went streaking past Slim's pitiful little yard. It was pitiful because it contained no grass, only weeds. And most of those weeds were withered and brown from the heat. We roared past the yard, past the house, and went ripping up the hill to the cattle guard. There, sure enough, we met the unauthorized vehicle. Description: old Ford, faded blue, conventional box bed, a dent in the right fender. A driver appeared to be sitting, well, in the driver's seat. I guess that wasn't such a big clue, but I took note of it anyway. When you're head of ranch security, you have to notice every tiny detail. I mean, if there'd been no driver, that would have been... Never mind. But there was a driver. A man, age... I couldn't tell his age. Maybe 40. He was wearing a straw cowboy hat and a t-shirt. An odd combination. See, cowboys, your real working cowboys, wear long-sleeve shirts, never t-shirts. There are reasons for that, but we're in the middle of a Code 3, and I don't have time to go into them now. Oh, maybe we can pause for just a minute. Cowboys wear long-sleeve shirts to protect themselves from sun and biting insects. Men who wear t-shirts usually aren't ranch cowboys. Okay, back to the unidentified vehicle. We swooped in on it, Drover and I did, and within seconds we had it surrounded. I gave the order to initiate warning barks. When the pickup didn't screech to a halt, we shifted into the next stage, which we call, "You'd better stop that thing right now."
It's a more serious kind of barking, don't you see? And a lot of times the driver of the vehicle will slam on his brakes and step out of the cab with his hands in the air. No kidding. But that's not what this guy did. He kept driving, just ignored us, kept going and left us in a cloud of dust. Caliche dust, very fine and powdery because of the dryness of the weather. And I didn't appreciate having to breathe it. Already I wasn't liking this guy, and then I noticed a couple of clues that made me like him even less. First off, he had two fishing poles hanging out the window on the passenger side, an indication that he might be a poached fisherman. A fishing poacherman. A poaching fisherman. A poacher. A trespasser. The kind of guy who slips onto a ranch and fishes without the permission of the owners. I don't like them. They have no respect for private property. They come in without permission, catch fish, and leave their garbage behind. Candy wrappers, beer cans, soda pop bottles, and we have to clean up the mess. So right away, I had three or four good reasons for disliking this guy, and after choking on his dust for several seconds, I sprang back into action and chased him all the way to Slim's little shack of a barn. Drover fell in behind me and added a few yips. It must have worked. The trespasser pulled up beside Slim's pickup and stopped. I quit barking and waited to see what would happen. Slim slouched against the pickup and stuck out his hand. Well, I'll be darned. Joe McCall, I haven't seen you in a while. They shook hands. It was at a team roping in Higgins, wasn't it? That's right. Me and Loper were looking at the prize money right up to the last go-round. Then you caught your steer in 7 seconds flat. We went home broke. And I've been broke ever since. I always figured it was mostly your fault. Joe laughed. We got lucky is all. You guys were hot that night. You still rope? In the pastures, all. My banker sent a little note with my fifth overdraft and said I might want to explore other career opportunities. I guess he done figured out that I wasn't going to make it to the national finals. Joe nodded and smiled. I hear you. Me too. Having to grow up is terrible, ain't it? I wouldn't know. I'm still fighting it. Well, heck, get out and stretch your legs. What brings you out here to the wilderness? Joe got out and stretched. Well, I had a day off and did a little fishing at the lake. I was on my way home and thought I'd stop by and say howdy. Slim's gaze went to the bed of the pickup. What's that you're hauling back there? Joe's smile faded. Oh, that's Bruiser, my brother's dog. He's a Rottweiler. I'm babysitting this week. I shot a glance at Drover. Did you hear that? There's an unauthorized dog in the back of that pickup. Come on, son. We need to check this out. We went streaking over to the pickup, and so the mystery began. Joe let down the tailgate of the pickup just as Drover and I arrived to begin our investigation of this new dog. Have we discussed the ranch's position on visiting dogs? Maybe not. We always check them out pretty carefully, and for very good reason. Some of these town dogs will try to chase cattle, and that's a major no-no. A huge no-no. In ranch country, dogs who chase cattle are very unpopular. And they don't last long. Yes, we would have to speak with this mutt and get a few things. Huh? I saw him. There he was. That wasn't a dog. It was a bear. A huge, enormous grizzly bear. I did a sudden about-face and found my steps leading to the underside of Joe's pickup, so to speak. There, to my surprise, I found Drover cowering in the dust. What are you doing under here? You're supposed to be interrogating that dog.
Not me. I saw him, and he looks like a gorilla. I never interrogate gorillas.
Oh, rubbish. He's just a dog. He puts on his pants the same way we do.
His pants would make a tent for me. You go. I'll wait here.
Well, I couldn't allow Drover to know, to think, let us say, that I was, well, nervous or uneasy about this new dog on the ranch. I mean, that would have ruined him. Drover, that is. Part of my job on this outfit is setting a good example for all the employees of the security division. For Drover, actually. Someone from the security division had to check it out, and it appeared that it would be me. I gave the runt a withering glare. All right, I'll go. But I must warn you, Drover, this will have to go into my report.
Fine with me.
What?
I said, oh, darn, draft.
I'm sorry, but the regulations are very clear on this. You will get 3 chicken marks. With that, I whirled away from Drover and marched. Okay, maybe I didn't march out from under the pickup. I scooted and crawled, but the important thing was that I put in an appearance. I was there to show the flag for the security division and to let this mutt know. He saw me and started growling. To let this fella know how happy we were to have visitors on the ranch. We don't get many visitors, don't you know, and it was always nice. I worked up a friendly smile and waved a paw in greeting. Ha! Hi there! He glared and growled. Gad, what an ugly dog. What had they called him? A Rottenweiler? He looked rotten, all right. Rotten and enormous. I mean, the guy must have weighed 100 pounds. Rottweiler, that's what they called him. Anyways, we were sure proud to have him visiting the ranch. I sat very still and listened. Joe sat on the tailgate and called the dog to him.
Come here, Bruiser. Be still. Those dogs won't hurt you.
Slim took a toothpick out of his hat band and ran it through his teeth. That's a mighty big dog. I'd say there ain't much chance that Hank and Drover would hurt him. I've heard stories about them Rottweilers. Some of them have a bad attitude. Joe nodded.
He is a big dog, and he ought to be able to whip his weight in wildcats. But you know, he's as silly as a goose. Most of the time, he goes around acting like King Kong. But he's scared to death of my wife's cat.
Oh, heck. Scared of a cat?
Yes, sir. And the other day, he saw himself in the mirror and spent 3 hours hiding in the closet. To tell you the truth, I think he's a little bit...
Joe's finger drew circles in the air beside his head.
I'll be glad when my brother gets back home.
Just then, Bruiser's head shot up. He'd seen our doe and fawn down by the creek. A growl sprang from his throat. He started barking and made a lunge. Joe grabbed one of his legs and tried to hang on, but Bruiser tore away from him, dived out of the pickup, and headed straight for the deer.
Bruiser, come back here! Bruiser!
Well, I was just sitting there, observing and minding my own business. Next thing I knew, Slim was standing over me. Hank, go get him. Stop that dog before he kills the fawn. I stared into his face. What? Stop the dog? Was he crazy? That dog, for his information, gave every appearance of being a 150-pound wrecking machine. And if Slim thought... He grabbed my tail and hoisted me up.
I hate to ask you to do this, but I'm asking. Get him stopped, and I'll be right behind you. Now go!
I swallowed a lump in my throat and looked towards the creek. Well, if Bruiser was afraid of cats, maybe... When the mother deer saw that big lunk of a dog heading her way, she flashed her white tail and sprinted off to the east. That was the good part. The bad part was that the fawn tried to follow but tripped over some weeds. He was pretty young, see, and had spindly legs. and he fell down. Bruiser was headed straight for him. Oh, did I mention that Bruiser ran like a fat duck? No kidding, he did. He couldn't run worth a darn. He plowed through the shallow water, leaped up on the east bank of the creek, and lunged right at the fawn and pinned it with his massive paws.
Gulp.
Well, it was clear what I had to do. I didn't want to, but when you're head of ranch security, you answer the calls and hope for the best. I hit sirens and lights and went straight into code 3. The second one of the day, in case you're counting. Using my incredible speed, I was able to close the distance between myself and the Rottweiler. I roared up to the scene of the crime and went right to work.
Halt, in the name of the law. Come out with your hands up. You're under arrest.
Standing over the fawn, Bruiser heard my command and turned his ugly eyes on me.
What did you say?
I tried to hide the quivering in my voice. I said, why don't you pick on someone your own size? He lumbered over to me. That wasn't such great news, but it allowed the fawn to jump up and run away. Bruiser glared at me.
My own size? How about you?
Me? Well, you're quite a bit bigger than me, actually, and I'm sure you'll agree.
Shut up, moron. You messed up my fun. And now I'm fixing to...
Bruiser! Bruiser! Down, boy!
The men arrived just in time. Joe clipped the chain around Bruiser's neck and pulled him off before he was able to get me skinned and gutted. Joe was panting for breath.
Sorry about that, Slim. I never thought about him chasing deer. Boy, he's stout, ain't he?
Uh-huh. And I'm thinking he just had one of his King Kong moments.
Slim came over to me, knelt down, and took my head in his hands.
How you doing, partner?
Still in one piece, barely.
Nice work, Pooch. You probably saved my fawn. So I guess that makes you a hero, as incredible as that may seem.
No kidding. Me, a hero? Gee, from where I was watching, it hadn't seemed all that great. I mean, let's face it, the dog had been one step away from trashing me. But if Slim insisted that I was a hero, well, maybe I was. I held my head at a proud angle and listened to the cheers of the crowd. A marching band was playing, drums and fifes and blaring trumpets. Lady dogs from all over Texas pushed their way to the front and tossed flowers in my direction. And there, in front of the whole multitude, Sally Mae fought her way through the crowd. And when her gaze fell upon my battered body, a cry of anguish leaped from her anguished throat. And in an anguished voice, she cried,
Oh, Hank, my beloved Hank! What have they done to you?
And then she engulfed me in the embrace of her loving arms and... You won't believe this part. She kissed me on the cheek. Pretty swell, huh? With the cheers of the crowd still ringing in my ears, I gave myself a good shake and saw... Grover.
Oh my gosh, Hank, what happened?
I gave the bully a sound thrashing. What did you expect? His eyes grew as wide as plates.
No fooling. Gosh, I never thought.
I only wish the men had given me another minute. One more minute, and I would have whipped the stuffings out of that big lug. The men had started back towards the pickups, leading the beaten, humiliated Rottweiler. Grover and I fell in behind them.
You mean you really whipped him? You're not just making it up?
How many times should I say it, Drover? Yes, yes, and yes. I'm shocked that you show so little confidence in my combat techniques.
Yeah, but he's so big.
I gave a careless chuckle. Son, never forget that it isn't the size of the dog in the fight that matters. It's the size of the fog in the dog. He's big, Drover, but also slow and dumb. Very dumb. Oh. And we happen to know that he's scared of cats. The pitiful, beaten, humiliated Bruiser heard this. His head shot up and he glared back at me.
What did you just say?
Grover let out a gasp.
Hank, shh, he's listening.
Relax, son, I'll handle this. I raised my voice so that the little wimp of a Rottweiler could hear. I said you're slow and dumb. I said you're nothing but a scaredy cat who's scared of cats. I said you walk like a fat duck. What do you think of that? He lunged against the chain and exposed a mouthful of... My goodness, for a spineless little weenie, he had some huge teeth.
Why, I ought to break your neck.
I gave him a pleasant smile. Yes, but you had your chance and you didn't get it done. Do you know why? Because... Grover was about to have a stroke.
Hank!
Shh! Because you fight like a fat duck. Oh, you're pretty tough when it comes to beating up baby deer. But put you in the ring with the head of ranch security and you stink. He lunged at me again, and this time I could feel his hot breath on my face. I ignored him and went right on. In fact, you stink twice. Once for fighting like a fat duck, and once for your breath, which smells like garbage. Grover was moaning and rolling his eyes.
Hank, don't do this!
Bruiser's eyes were flaming now.
Listen, stupid, if I ever get off this chain, I'm gonna finish what I started.
Oh, yeah? Well, bring a sack lunch, fatso, because it's liable to take you a couple of days. See you around, and don't ever set foot on my ranch again. Joe and Mr. Big Talker got into the cab of the pickup and drove off. As they pulled away from the house, Bruiser was glaring at me with eyes filled with meanness and hatred. I turned to Drover. Well, one riot, one cow dog. Too bad you were hiding under the pickup. You missed all the fun. He was shaking his head and rolling his eyes.
I don't think you should have said all those things.
Why? Hey, it served him right. And besides, we'll never see him again. Those turned out to be famous last words. Slim watched them until the pickup left our property and turned right on the county road. Then he looked down at me.
Boys, that right there's a bad dog. Joe's gonna have problems with him. Nice work, Hank.
He bent down and scratched me behind the ears. I puffed myself up to my full height and shot a grin at Mr. Squeakbox.
You ain't much of a fighter, but your heart's in the right place. I'll remember that next time you mess up. Huh?
There. You see what these guys do? They give you a little compliment, a little pat on the head, and then they take it all back with some tacky remark. I'll remember that the next time you mess up. What an insult. What an outrage. For his information, I rarely ever messed up, and I had no plans for messing up any time in the near future. I couldn't believe he'd said that. Oh, well. Where were we? Oh, yes. At the end of a long, hot day in August. Bushed, beat, exhausted, worn down to a nub of our former selves, but triumphant since I had won a huge moral victory over the overbearing Rottweiler. And we had ended our long, hot so forth down at Slim's bachelor shack on the banks of Wolf Creek. We dogs kind of enjoyed staying down at Slim's place. For one thing, he, being a bachelor, had no problem with dogs staying inside his house. Not that we were dirty, understand. We weren't. Or I wasn't. I can't speak for Drover or speculate on his personal habits relating to cleanliness, but I can certainly speak for myself. I'm pretty darn fussy about my appearance. I bathe every single day in the overflow of the septic tank. It not only leaves me clean and spotless, but it also gives me that deep, manly aroma that the lady dogs really love. Where were we? Oh, yes. Slim always let us stay inside the house, and once there, we often found ourselves in a position to... How can I say this? Once we established a presence inside the house, we were then in a perfect and natural position to... Well, share in his meals. Snack. Eat. He sometimes gave us food, is the point. And food is a very important part of a dog's... whatever. Spiritual development, I suppose. Feeling of well-being. See, even on a bad day, a few morsels of food can bring a flood of new meaning into our lives. We ask so little of this life, we dogs. And a few scraps of food can turn a slow day into an exciting experience. For all his flots and falls, for all his flaws and flots, for all his faults and flaws, let us say, old Slim often scored home runs in the sharing of food department. Anyways, Grover and I made our way up to the house. Slim had gotten there first and was inside doing something. Taking off his boots, perhaps. Yes, that's exactly what he was doing. I knew because I heard him straining with the boot jack, and then I heard his boots hit the floor. Two boots. That's what he wore, two boots, because, well, he had 2 feet, I suppose, and if a guy has 2 feet, he wears... Skip it. We made our way up to the front porch and went to the screen door. A lot of your common run of ranch mutts, and we're talking about mutts with no class or couth or manners, would start scratching on the screen door. Not me. I knew better than to do such a thing. Not only was it discouthful and rude, but that door scratching had a tendency to... well, destroy screens. I knew Slim's position on damaged screen doors. He didn't approve. They made him mad and caused him to roar and yell. Hensley, instead of scratching on the door, I sat down on the porch and positioned myself so that he could see me. Grover was there too, and together we sat down and waited for Slim to let us in. Minutes passed. We could hear him in there. He was doing something. My ears leaped up and I twisted my head to the side as I tried to analyze the sound. What's he doing in there? Well, I don't know, but it sounds kind of like... You don't reckon he's clipping his toenails, do you? I gave the runt a glare. Clipping his toenails? Don't be ridiculous. Why would he clip his toenails at a time like this? Well, I don't know. What time is it? It's time for us to be off duty and inside the house, where we belong. Besides, Slim would never go to the trouble of clipping his toenails. He just tears them off. Unless I'm badly mistaken, he's in there clipping his toenails. I'll be darned. I never would have thought of that. Nor would I. But the evidence is building up. That clicking sound, you see, is coming from the toenail clipper as it clips each of the various toenails. I'll swan. And obviously he doesn't realize that we're out here, waiting to be let in. I paused a moment to ponder the situation. Okay, Drover, let's go into loyal dogs waiting patiently. Do you remember the routine? Well, let me think. We sit and stare at the door? Almost. We sit and stare at the door and sweep our tails across the porch. Yeah, but my tail's just a stub and it can't sweep. Good point. I hadn't thought of that. Okay, I'll switch my tail over to slow sweeps and you wiggle yours. How about that? That'll work. I can do pretty good wiggles. And that's just what we did. Went into loyal dogs waiting patiently and did a heck of a job with it. But it didn't work. He seems to be ignoring us. Yeah, and I'm getting discouraged. Don't give up, son. We've got a few more bags in our trick. Maybe we should sing the Let Us in the House song. That'll get him. And with that, we belted out the song, just like this. time for everything. There's a time for working. There's a time for suffering. And there's a time we should call it quits. We dogs have worked in heat and dust, and that's without complaining. But what's the deal? The door is shut, and there's some risk of a starving death. Must you clip your toenails? Must you do it now? We're sitting on the front porch, waiting to be let inside. We don't really want to cause you any trouble. Can't you merely take a hint? Because if you don't, you'll scratch the screen. Because if you don't, we will scratch and scream. Must you clip your toenails? Must you do it now? We're sitting on the front porch, waiting to be let inside. We don't really want to cause you any trouble. Can't you merely take a hint? Because if you don't, we will scratch and scream.
Pretty awesome song, huh? You bet. And I was pretty sure it would do the trick. I cocked my ear and listened. Grover, something's wrong. Surely, if he'd heard our song, he would rush to the door and let us in.
Maybe he doesn't like us anymore. Maybe he hates us. Remember all those dog hairs on the pickup seat?
Those were hog hairs. You told me so yourself.
I think they were dog hairs, and I think they might have come from us.
You could be right. I cut my eyes from side to side and plunged into deep thoughts of deepest concentration. Okay, what's done is done. There's no use spilling any more milk. If Slim insists on clipping his toenails, we have no choice but to scratch on the screen door. Grover's eyes widened.
Oh, I don't think we better do that. He might get mad.
Well, it's his own fault. He's brought this upon himself. We tried the course of manners and reason, and it flopped.
I guess we could just stay out on the porch.
I stared at him. I can't believe you said that.
Stay out on the porch when there's a whole house waiting for a couple of tired, loyal dogs to come in?
What good is a house without dogs, Grover?
Well,
a house without dogs is like a song without a melody, a tree without leaves, a sandwich without mustard, a ranch without baling wire. A house without dogs is a hollow place, just four roofs and a wall
and toenail clippers.
Exactly. A house without dogs is like toenail clippers without a toe. Do you see what this means? It means that we must go to the drastic measure of scratching on the screen.
Which one of us?
Me, of course, unless... I guess we could let you go solo on this deal.
Yes, it might be a good experience for you. Yeah, but this old leg's acting up on me again.
Which leg's?
The one I use for scratching.
Use your other leg.
It's starting to hurt, too. Terrible pain. I just don't think I could stand it.
I gave my head a shake. Grover, you are such a weenie.
What's the big deal? We're doing this for Slim's own good. Don't forget that.
Grover stood up and began limping in a circle. Okay, skip it. I'll do the scratching.
But this will go into my report. Oh, no, not that.
Yes, and all your begging and whining won't change a thing. It will go into my report, and you will get 5 chicken marks. How does that make you feel?
Oh, my leg!
I ignored his noise and marched up to the screen door. I took 3 deep breaths, limbered up my scratching paw, and prepared to launch myself into drastic measures. Maybe that was a mistake. Right away, I went into my warm-up and stretch exercise program.
I limbered up the big scratches muscle in my right shoulder and extended my claws several times. Then and only then did I place my right front paw on the screen door. I pulled the paw and claws in a downward direction, creating a scratching sound. The clicking of the toenail clippers stopped. We heard Slim's feet hit the floor. He was coming to the door. I tossed a glance at Drover and gave him a wink. You see, there's nothing to it. You could have done it if you hadn't been such a... Yikes. He was standing in front of us. Slim was, not Drover. Drover suddenly ducked his head and went slithering over to the wood pile and took cover. That left me all alone to face the music, the charges, the whatever might be. Slim didn't look real happy. I could see it in his face. We dogs are very perceptive, you know, and let's go straight to the point. He was mad about something. But what? Surely not my gentle scratching on his screen. I mean, I had been very, very careful not to leave ugly scratch marks on his, screen. Actually, it had been more of a rubbing action than a scratching action. Honest. I had hardly used my claws at all. Maybe he had cut off one of his toes. Yes, that was it. He'd been trimming his toenails, see, and in a careless moment he had lost concentration and had, well, lopped off one of his toes. That would make a guy mad, wouldn't it? Sure it would. If you only had four toes, you couldn't do This Little Piggy Went to Market. Well, I guess you could do some of it, but when you came to the wee 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 part, you'd be out of toes. That would be lousy. Wee 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 is the best part, right? It's the punchline, so to speak, and if you... Slim loomed above me like a huge tree. Through the screen door, his face had a ghostly haze about it, and all at once he resembled a... well, a ghost. An angry ghost. At last he spoke. You know what happened to the last dog that scratched up my door? No. I had no idea. But I hadn't actually scratched the door, see? It had been more of a... I sold him to a dog sled driver for $2.50. And now he's pulling logs in Siberia. Siberia? Gee, that's a pretty cold place. Don't scratch on my door. Well, sure, yes, I knew that, but I... That is, Drover and I had felt an urgent need to... You mutts are shedding hair in this heat, and I don't need dog hair all over my house. No, of course not, but maybe if we concentrated extra hard on... And furthermore, I just found a tick crawling on the back of my neck. A tick? We knew nothing about ticks. Honest. He must have gotten it from... Well, from a chicken. Or from a passing rabbit. No, he'd gotten it from Bruiser, the flea-bag Rottweiler. That was it. I can't think of any reason why you dogs need to be in my nice, clean house. Nice, clean? Oh, brother, that was the joke of the century. His house was a mess. He knew it, I knew it, everybody knew it. The truth of the matter was that most dogs wouldn't have set foot in the place. For fear of being eaten by mice or dying of dust pneumonia. So if he didn't want us in his house, by George, that was fine with me. We glared at each other through the screen. Then the hinges squeaked and he opened the door. What was the deal? He'd just gone through this long sermon about, I'll let y'all in for one reason and one reason only. It ain't because you deserve to come in, because you don't. It's because a house with me in it is so boring I can't hardly stand it. Now get in here and don't be scratching on my screen door. Yes, sir, you bet. No more screen scratching for me. I shot through the door before he could change his mind. Drover was right behind me. the little noodle had ventured out of his hiding place in the wood pile. After I had taken all the heat and all the tongue lashings and the snaky looks, and in a flash, he was curled up on the floor. I didn't hit the floor at once. Instead, I went into the digging and fluffing procedure, the aim of which was to soften up the old threadbare carpet on Slim's. And don't be digging holes in my new carpet. New carpet? It was old and ugly. But what the heck? It was probably soft enough, so I did 3 quick turns and flopped down. Gag. It was as hard as a gravel road. I turned a glare on my nincompoop assistant. Well, I hope you're happy. I got us into the house, and what did you do? You hid in the wood pile. No, I saw a mouse. You did not see a mouse. Well, I thought I saw a mouse, but maybe it was a cricket. You didn't see a mouse or a cricket. You were fleeing from reality. You were hiding from life itself. What kind of dog are you? Well, Mom always said we were Heinz 57, but I'm not sure what that means. It means that you can find 57 ways of saving your hiney and putting mine in harm's way. It means that you can find 57 ways of dodging responsibility. Are you ashamed of yourself? Well, let me think here. If you have to think about it, you're not ashamed. Okay, I'm ashamed. Are you just saying that, or do you really mean it? I really mean it, from my heart. I'm so ashamed I can hardly stand myself, but I don't know where else to go. I studied the runt. He seemed sincere about this. Okay, if you really mean it, we'll let it slide this time. But those 5 chicken marks will have to stay on your record. Oh, drat. Make it 6. 1 more for naughty language. I hated to pile on the chicken marks, but when you're head of ranch security, you have to be firm with the underlings. Well, after straightening out Drover, I began thinking seriously about turning in for the night. It had been a long, hard day in the broiling heat of summer, and I was ready to send up a few Z's. But before I could get that deal started, Slim came walking into the room. I lifted my head and looked at him. He had stripped down to his boxer shorts, perhaps because of the heat. Yes, I'm sure it was the heat. Slim wasn't the kind of guy who went around half-naked without a good reason. The reason was that his house was as hot as an oven. He didn't have an air conditioner, so there he was, half-naked, with his skinny mayonnaise legs sticking out of his boxer shorts. I guess he didn't mind exposing his legs to us dogs. Perhaps he knew that we were accustomed to keeping deep, dark secrets about our masters, such as how ridiculous they looked running around the house in their undershorts. Anyways, he came into the living room and guessed what he was carrying in his right hand. A forked stick with... what were those things? Long strips of inner tube? And a piece of leather tied to their ends? That was odd. Y'all ready to hunt some mice? They're about to take this place over, and by grabs, I've decided to fight back. Made myself a slingshot. Oh, so that was it. Yes, of course. Forked stick, strips of inner tube rubber, piece of leather. The pieces of the puzzle began falling into place. By George, we were fixing to go on a big mouse safari. And yes, I was ready to contribute my part to the effort. I turned to Drover. Well, this is going to be more exciting than I... He had vanished. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him slinking down the hall. A moment later, I heard him crawling under Slim's bed. Oh, well, we would do better without him. He's scared of mice, you know, and loud noises. And so it was that Slim and I opened hunting season on the local mice. Here's how we did it. Slim moved his big stuffed chair into the kitchen so that he not only had a comfortable seat, but also had a good view of the part of his kitchen that contained the most, well, mouse bait, I guess we would say. We're talking about breadcrumbs, cracker crumbs, jelly spills, bits of tuna fish, canned mackerel, and Vienna sausage that had ended up on the floor. Slim had studied the behavioral patterns of the local mouse population, don't you see, and had made some important discoveries. First off, the mice hid out during the daylight hours. Second, they tended to come out and show themselves after dark. Third, when they showed themselves, they went straight into the kitchen, where they began gorging themselves on the various food groups on the floor. Slim had made note of their feeding patterns and had devised a hunting strategy. He would lounge in the chair until a mouse showed himself. At that point, he would load four or five BBs into the slingshot, pull her back, and let fly with the buckshot. He used four or five BBs because he was a lousy shot. We dogs know these secrets about our human friends. Pretty slick, huh? You bet it was. And you talk about fun. Fellas, this promised to be good, wholesome family entertainment. Fun with a higher social purpose. Ridding the house of nasty mice. I'm sure it would have been loads of fun, and there's no telling how many mice we might have gotten if... See, Slim fired off his first shot. He missed the mouse, and BBs went flying everywhere. There was a crashing sound, a tinkle, a clatter. The grin on Slim's face wilted. Oops. I believe I just shot out a window glass. Sure enough, several of the BBs had bounced off the floor and blown holes in two panes in the back window. Slim pushed himself out of the easy chair and walked over to examine the evidence. Naturally, I went with him. As you may know, we dogs recognize that the sharing of pain is a very important part of our job. When our masters make bonehead mistakes, they need a loyal dog at their side to, well, to give them looks of greatest sympathy, to wag our tails, and to assure them that, hey, anyone could have shot holes in a window in his own house with a slingshot while hunting mice. Sometimes it's hard to pull off looks of greatest sympathy because it's hard to keep from laughing. This was one of those deals. At such times, we have to impose iron discipline upon our laughing instincts. Well, I wasn't laughing. Not me. I had been through all this before. Maybe not a broken window, but things just as weird. And I didn't even crack a smile. I matched my expression to Slim's expression, and together our expressions expressed deep sorrow and regret. Yes, this was a sad evening for the ranch. Slim would have to stuff paper or chewing gum into the holes to keep out the rain. But before he had the chance to do anything about it, the phone rang.